This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you've been watching the news, you have seen that Hillary Clinton has been grilled for a somewhat small-scale IT project, her email server. But what about sweating the big stuff? You know the phrase, too big to fail? What about projects so big that they are guaranteed to fail? My next guest says that seems like an apt description for many of the large-scale IT projects undertaken by the U.S., federal, and state governments over the last 10 years. He's recapping some notable government glitches for the IEEE spectrum in the series Lessons from a Decade of IT Failures. From billions spent at the U.S. Census Bureau to go back to paper forms after sinking hundreds of millions of dollars into handheld computers, to the accidental withdrawal of pensions from New York teachers, the government has faced a number of tech fails. So when projects go wrong, who gets held accountable? Well, here with the answers is Bob Charette. He's a contributing editor with the IEEE Spectrum. He joins us from his home in Virginia. Welcome to Science Friday, Bob.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You've been reflecting on 10 years of IT failures for the IEEE Spectrum. Can you describe some of those failures that you have come up with?
Well, we looked at failures across the board, not only in the U.S., but across the world. But there's been a plethora of failures from DOD to, as you mentioned, state government, local government. There's been ones that have plagued just about every single government agency. In fact, the Government Accountability Office this past spring put government IT acquisition on its high-risk list, which means that it's going to take a very careful look at all acquisitions across government. But we're talking about billions of dollars that have been wasted over the last decade.
So why do you think that so many of these failures are in the government?
Well, the government has, in many ways, is harder to have IT success than in the commercial sphere. When you're talking about government IT, you're making somewhat of an assumption that the project that you are funding is absolutely necessary to have the proper operation of government to try to manage what the risks are, you know, of the U.S. people. And so these projects are typically very, very large. They're complex. And one of the issues that, you know, we've seen is that, kind of like the highway system, when a project is running successfully, they don't tend to modernize it for 10 or 15 years. So when you actually have to modernize it, you're now having to capture everything that you didn't do over the last 10 or 15 years.
Hmm. Now, take me through one of these recent IT failures, in particular the one that involves the Social Security Administration and disability claims.
Okay, this was a system that is currently trying to be developed. It was it's a very interesting one. It's one that actually has an interesting backstory. Back in the early 2000s, the disability claims for Social Security, there was a massive backlog, and the Social Security Administration, at the behest of Congress and the American people, wanted to try to reduce that backlog. So they kind of threw some money at some IT at the time. It didn't work very well. The backlog was growing. So they started in 2007 another initiative to try to integrate 54 different IT systems that Social Security Administration has out in states to try to process these claims. So they decided this project estimated cost was about $381 million, which isn't the largest in government, but it's fairly significant. And they put out a contract in 2011 for about $200 million to Lockheed Martin to try to pull all these systems together. Well, after 6 years and spending $288 million, they found out that they really didn't have anything. In fact, they called in a consulting company to take a look at the progress, and what the report stated, and this is on a quote, for the past 5 years, release 1.0, that's the initial system, has consistently been projected to be 24 to 32 months away. So for 5 years, it was always kind of like Wimpy in Popeye. I'm gladly pay you for on Tuesday for a hamburger today. And so this past fall, the Social Security Administration decided that they were going to have to do a reset. They were going to work hard on correcting all the problems that had been found, and they were going to move forward and hopefully get it out in the next couple of years, because the backlog for Social Security disability claims has continued to grow. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's almost, by any stretch of imagination, it's scandalous. And so things looked like they were going to go well until this past summer, when the latest attempt also failed. And so the government had to call in its tech experts and try to get it back on track. And to be honest, I don't know where the current status is, but they claimed that they were going to let out some new contracts by the end of this year to try to improve it, but I haven't heard of anything that's occurred. So
all these people who depend on the system have no other recourse.
So if you're right now, the backlogs is measured in almost 2 years. So if you put in a disability claim, you may be waiting 2 years or longer to have it adjudicated. And now the computer system isn't responsible for all 2 years, but it's that starting point of actually getting your claim processed, which is taking forever as well.
On the 10 years you've been looking at this, does anybody ever get blamed or be held responsible for the failures of these systems?
Rarely. Very, very rarely. In fact, there was a large, again, another scandalous failure this time for the Air Force, is something called the Expeditionary Combat Support System, which was a modernization, a third attempt by the Air Force over the last 20 years to modernize its supply systems, its logistics systems. And they spent, it was a multi-billion-dollar program that started in about 2004, 2005. It was canceled in 2010 after spending $1 billion and getting absolutely nothing for it. And the general who was the last person in charge was asked whether or not anybody was going to be fired or demoted. And she basically said, we don't believe in doing that. It's not necessary to do that.
Wow. It is an election season. Do we voters have any recourse to hold the government accountable when IT projects go wrong?
Well, that's a very good question. Part of the problem is that even for somebody like myself, I've been involved in doing risk assessments for 30 years across the globe on large scale systems. It's hard to actually, even as a professional, to dig through and find when something's going wrong and how it's going wrong. And so a lot of times, what you read or what we dug into was things that had already happened. So you don't know that something's going wrong until it's happened. And there's really no votes for politicians to say, okay, I'm going to, elect me because I'm going to have great IT for the government. Mm-hmm. That isn't a real vote catcher.
Well.
So for you or me, there's not a lot we can do. We can try to demand, that government puts out good IT, but that's, in many ways, that's like spitting in a hurricane.
Do government employees not trust their own systems at times?
I think that, having been in government myself, I think the answer is yes. The systems themselves, government workers try. The people are trying to who are developing these. They're trying to do their best. It's a very difficult environment in which they live. One is that a lot of times these systems are politically mandated, in the sense that you have somebody on the Hill or Congress will mandate a system, and they'll mandate a particular period of time, and they'll mandate the amount of money you're going to spend, and they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So what happens is, if you're there as a government person, you're trying to translate some political wish into something that's technical, and it's very easy. I always tell people I can make any project fail by not giving you enough time or enough money or letting you know what I want done, and that happens quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's complicated, but that said, lots of government programs also find out they don't have the skills that they need, or they don't have the management attention that should be there, and they don't learn from failure. If we really were to take a look I think it was Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula, mm-hmm. Had said something like, you don't learn from success, you learn from failure. It's something like that. Well, if that was true, given the number of failures that have happened in government, we'd be the smartest IT people on the planet.
Hmm. Well, given all that you've learned and just what you've told us about the trusting government computers, snafus that go on in setting it up, would it seem unreasonable that a government employee might not want to depend solely on a government computer and perhaps have a second one or a backup one set up in their own home?
Not be unreasonable, although that's not recommended, because, again, if you take a look at that with Hillary Clinton, one of the reasons that she gave was that it was IT in the State Department was so fouled up that and unreliable that she needed to have another way of accessing her emails and communicating. Now, again, that may not be what you want, but I can understand it. I can understand why you might want to have other ways of getting around your systems. Sometimes friends of mine in government who are logging onto their secure systems, they talk about, it takes so long, they can go get a coffee, have a Danish, and read the morning paper by the time their system's ready to be accessed.
So it wasn't so far-fetched what she said,
I don't think it's far-fetched. It may be more in the extreme, but I think that it's understandable on how people within government get very frustrated by, the reliability of the systems themselves. For instance, in Washington State, they're trying to go through a modernization program on a number of the state government computer systems. And one of the problems, for instance, in their Department of Motor Vehicles or Department of Licensing, is that their systems are so old it doesn't have, for instance, the systems doesn't have a back button. Okay, so if you make a mistake, you have to start all over again.
Oh.
So, you can imagine how frustrating that is. That
wow.
if you make a typo, that I can't, it's too late. I got to start over.
Right. Well, I understand that because I spent 5 hours recently in my DMV, and I actually started talking to the manager about his computer system, and he said, these are even pre-Windows machines. These machines are running on DOS, and we're just about to change them all over. And that's how long it takes government. Before I ask you this question, let me remind everybody, I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. I'm talking with Bob Charette, contributing editor with the IEEE Spectrum. And that is one thing people don't, understand from spacecraft to the military to, to local governments. Things take forever to change, don't they?
Yeah, and in fact, it's interesting what you're saying about pre-DOS. There's actually a computer system within DOD, within the Department of Defense, which is, if it was a human being, it would be ready to get Social Security. It's a system called the Mechanization of Contracts Administration Services, and it was installed in 1958, and it's still working, and it's still at the heart of contracts financial management within DOD. Mm. It has 2 million lines of COBOL code. COBOL hasn't been a major program for 30 years. And they've been trying to replace it about every 10, 15 years. They try to replace it. But because it interfaces with so many different systems, you can imagine that this is kind of like doing open heart surgery on approximately $1.2 trillion worth of contracts.
Wow.
So, people, once a system gets embedded, it takes a lot of effort to replace it.
I remember if
it works, you don't fool with it.
I remember the 2K problem was you're reminding me. Let me go to the phones to Tom in Dallas. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, hi, Neil. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm a contractor for one of the DOD contracts, and I came from the outside. From a private enterprise company and working in IT for about 20 years, and I was surprised at how slow things unravel within the process. And one of the simplest examples is just getting your CAC card. Can take anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks to be able to have access to the network. You can actually do your job. And the same thing with the awarding of contracts. They can take, you know, after they've actually received all the bids, I've seen it anywhere from 12 months to infinity. And so a lot of this is kind of idle time that, you know, contractors are kind of just spinning their wheels and not able to get anything done. I mean, not to mention kind of transfer of knowledge, you know, people just popping over from one area to another area. Applications, just like as he was saying, that were kind of embedded and ingrained, and it takes an act of you know, somebody higher up to actually force people to move away. It's a mess.
Let me get a quick quick question. Is have you ever seen, Bob, a project that got it right, a large scale IT project that functioned properly? I want to get there, can't all be been, that.
Yeah, well, there's a number. You know, I don't want to say that everyone fails. There are, you know, the Government Accountability Office, for instance, has been tracking, you know, successes, and they have a number of them. They've talked about there's been one in Department of Defense, the Global Combat Support System, Department of Energy's Manufacturing Operations Management Project. Project Peace Shield back in the 90s was a phenomenal success for DoD, came well under budget and early, and worked better than anybody expected. But, you know, those are more the exceptions than the rule, and that's the unfortunate part. The larger the program, the more likely that it's going to fail. And again, given the importance of these things, I guess the thing that has always bothered me for being part of this community for almost 40 years is that we don't take the level of seriousness of what we're trying to do. So we tend to do it on a shoestring, or if we don't really understand, no one speaks out. For instance, going back to the Air Force Expeditionary Combat Support System, one of the auditors' audit reports said that it took courage on the part of underlings to bring up problems to senior management.
All right, Bob, we have to leave it there. Taking courage to say goodbye to you, because it's a great story. Bob Charette, contributing editor with the IEEE Spectrum.